I'm here to do peace. I'm here to do joy. I'm here to do love and think paradise. I want to be kind, want to be divine, have an even mind most all the time. But what I'm really here to do is mostly love. I wanna breathe love, wanna breathe faith, I wanna breathe truth.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic, and we're broadcasting live today as part of One The Event, a global webcast and a gathering that's designed to help catalyze a collective shift to love and unity as we commemorate the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Through our individual and collective expressions, through the intentions that we set today, on a day that is most associated with fear and hate, we can shift this to be the most powerful day of love and unity. So thank you for joining me today. In the next hour, I will be bringing you interviews with two women who have made big shifts in their own lives and practices, and they'll be sharing their stories and resources with you. Now, who am I and what am I doing here? I am the always curious host of Out of the Fog on Blog Talk Radio, and I will soon be broadcasting on Transformation Talk Radio and the mighty WBLQ in New England when Out of the Fog adds a Wednesday show. We premiere on this network on October 19th. I am also a professional intuitive who specializes in helping people in transition get spirit-led guidance about their next steps. You can find out more about me at fogcitypsychic.com. Let's go to our first guest, who will talk about how we can reinvent our lives, starting from where we are right now. Shan Vanderleek is a successful television advertising maven turned international transformation goddess. She's a yogini and the author of Life on Your Terms, the support you need to follow your passion from inspirational entrepreneurs. Unconventional and delightfully curious, Shan is the founder of True Balance International and co-founder of Anxiety Slayer. Anxiety Slayer is awesome, by the way. She is a wildly sought-after transition coach who inspires powerful women in career transition to get focused now, follow their passion, and create more balance in their lives. You can find her on Twitter and on Facebook and at shanvanderleek.com. That's shanvanderleek.com. Shan, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be here. It's a pleasure.
It's fun, isn't it? It's a wonderful, this is a great way to gather and mark this day.
It really is. It's an honor to be here. And I think about, I've done a lot of contemplating this morning and prayer this morning and lots of thought about sending as much peaceful energy out to the world as possible. I think each one of us can certainly make a difference. And, so that's been on my mind today, knowing that I was going to be talking to you and be part of such a powerful event today.
I was wondering, I've been thinking a lot about this too, and I'm remembering where I was and how I've changed in the 10 years since that event. How is your life different today than it was 10 years ago? Do you remember where you were on 9/11, or can you share any of that?
I absolutely can. I was still working for a CBS affiliate and happened to be in my office, and when you work for a television station, you have televisions in every room. And I happened to receive an email from my father letting me know, you know, to be sure that I was paying attention to the television, because oftentimes it would be on or I wouldn't be paying attention, and there it was. And so it seemed like the world just stopped, and unfortunately, I watched the second plane crash into the tower live. You know, I saw that happen on television, and just, it was it's still so surreal, and yet obviously just so heartbreaking. And I think about, that's where I was. So I was in a completely different life, a completely different career, and my daughter had just turned one, And I promptly left the office to be with her and, you know, just to be really thankful for gifts and for my family and friends. And I remember a great deal of kinship and spirit and kindness and patriotism like I've never seen after that day.
Yeah, absolutely. People really came together. And it was so... It is. It's one of those defining moments. My son is a little bit older than your daughter, and he had just he was just about to turn two. And I remember watching him. He was sitting in the sunshine playing in a little patch of sun. And I remember watching him and thinking, what kind of world now is he going to grow up into? What mm-hmm. what's going to happen next for him?
Mm-hmm.
How is your life different now, 10 years on? You really did reinvent your life.
I did, and I'm so grateful that I had the courage to go for it and to make it happen. And it's interesting that the transformation for me really began about this time. The inkling of change was there, the being a new mom and being in a highly powerful, high-pressure job and thinking about what I really wanted the next 10 years to look like. And so to have the chance to talk to you about it is really cool because here I am, and I'm so much better off for having made the choices that I made. At the time, they were frightening, but it all began with this awareness of what really matters and what's really important. And I think for a lot of us 10 years ago on 9/11, if we weren't already in that place, boy, it sure helped us along to get clear about our priorities. And so 10 years later, I am much more aware and mindful of my day-to-day behaviors. Awareness is a big key. Being present for my daughter and available to her, as well as creating my own business and being able to serve so many who are moving in transition, who are facing significant change, whether they want to or not in some cases, and to be able to help them wrap their arms around what that looks like and to navigate through that as gracefully as possible. To be able to do that, to be here now with a yoga teaching certification and having co-authored a couple of best-selling books and having written Life on Your Terms, it's almost mind-blowing to think about what I've been able to do in the last 10 years. By choice.
Yeah. And because you stepped into that possibility, and I suppose there was fear, but I think of you stepping into that possibility from the perspective of love and opportunity instead of fear and withholding.
I think so. There certainly was a lot of fear. I was changing everything up all at the same time. And also in this place of, oh my goodness, I've always been this person. People out in the world, friends, family, anybody who knew me knows me this way, and now I'm no longer her. Now I'm disintegrating in order to recreate, to reinvent. You know, the metamorphosis description or example is just a great way to look at it.
Right.
And to be in a place now where I know I'm making a difference versus collecting a paycheck. And yeah, just my whole world is open up. My heart is open, and I'm grateful to be in this place now today.
I have heard you say the time for liberation is now. What does that mean? It has a vaguely, to me, it's a little bit scary. What do you mean now? I can't wait till later. I've got some stuff to do. What does that mean?
Well, I think about it in terms certainly of my experience first, and then it fans out from there. I think about how many years I enjoyed my prior career, my prior lifestyle, the way that things were once upon a time. And then when it started to feel more uncomfortable and like it wasn't a good fit anymore, and knowing that I needed to make changes and to benefit my family and to benefit myself, I knew that I had to get real. I had to face my fears and come up with a plan to begin my path to liberation, to become the mistress of my own destiny. So even though I wasn't able to make that exact maneuver 10 years ago, I could start planning and dreaming and thinking, what will this look like? And, you know, I have the rest of my life before me. How do I want it to play out? So I was giving myself permission to show up in a new way, allowing for creativity and allowing, instead of being overwhelmed with the to-do list and the bumping around in day-to-dayness, you allow yourself to be curious and to explore what your life might look like if you actually did go for it, whatever it is.
I love that. I think a lot of us don't give ourselves permission to dream, don't give ourselves permission to imagine what our possibilities are. And I think that it limits us so much, and we're doing it to ourselves. We're stopping ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
What steps can people take right now? What can I do right now to help me begin to reinvent my life?
I think the first thing that I would recommend, if anybody listening is in a position of knowing that something's got to give or something's got to change, is to understand that the very first step and the very first stage of any significant change or transition is very uncomfortable. And knowing that this discomfort is real and that you're not alone in that feeling and that it's not going to last forever. But it is uncomfortable to make these big changes. So in the beginning, what I'd like you to do is to really be gentle with yourselves and to be kind and careful and quiet, to not add more to your list, to not add more to your responsibilities, but if anything, to allow for some quiet time, for some as much peace as you can possibly allow and invite into your life. This is a time when you really need to become aware of what is working and what does bring you joy, and to bring it down to these basic, to bring it back to love, to bring it back to peacefulness and comfort, and what can I do to care for myself right now. And then once you've got that under control, then you move into that next step. So for right now, it's to get really clear about, okay, is this not, if I don't want to be doing this anymore or living this way anymore or in this relationship right now or whatever it is we're talking about, you've got to take some time to go internal and to really allow yourself to work through it. I think too many of us push it aside for another day.
Mm-hmm. And valuing that downtime, valuing that time where you're reconnecting with yourself, is a tremendous gift. And I think a lot of people have a tendency to, as you're saying, leave it for another day or move quickly past that because you've got to quick grab the next thing. You got to quick scramble and get, oh boy, I lost the one thing. I got to get to the next thing and I got to go fast. And for me, at least, to my way of thinking, that scrambling and that clutching is more about fear. I've lost something and I got to get something in here to fill it right away. It doesn't really even matter what it is. I'll just grab that.
Right. Or sometimes we'll sabotage ourselves by adding all kinds of additional things that simply must be done. And so then how in the world would we ever have time to, you know, come back to something else and to make that change? And that's why in the beginning, it's really important that we, creating a luscious list of items, of things that you can do to really care for yourself through the beginning stages of discomfort, through that first part of transition. So it might be playing outside. It might be yoga practice, listening to great music. It could be just something so simple as inspirational reading or writing, because then you prepare yourself for the next stage, which is introspection. That's when we really get to the, oh, seeking, questioning. This is often a time when we become really very spiritual, and maybe for the first time. I know for me, I was emotional. I was an emotional roller coaster. I'm so grateful to my family and friends for putting up with my Shanna Banana behavior, but it's what, you know, it was tough. It was tough to admit that it was time to let go of the, you know, the only lifestyle that I'd ever known and to start all over again. But it can be done.
Now, you're listening to Karen Hager on Out of the Fog. We're broadcasting live as part of One the Event. My guest is Shan Vanderleek, and you can find out more about Shan and her work at shanvanderleek.com. That's shanvanderleek.com. So after we've given ourselves that permission to rest and be gentle with ourselves and start to look at what brings us joy, and then we go to that introspective place. Mm-hmm. What's the next? What do we do with all the good stuff that comes out of that introspection? Oh, and what if what comes out of our introspection is maybe more fear and more limits? becoming introspective can be a little bit dangerous because you go down there and there may be scary things in your basement.
Right. Right. Well, and that's why I think it's so important at that time to write down what you're thinking, to do some journaling, and to just allow everything to purge from your brain, from your heart, to just to get it down on paper is really, really helpful. And, you know, or key it into your computer, however you need to do that. But this is where, yeah, those fears will absolutely pop up. But what you're doing is just, okay, let them come and let them go, just like watching a cloud floating through the sky. It's there. But then we're going to come back around, and as we move through our transition, we're going to be taking action and getting clear about what's next by exploration, right? So what do we know? We know about fear is that taking action generally cures fear.
Yep.
The more information we have about something that we might be frightened about, as soon as we make friends with that, as soon as we do our homework, if you will, we start to see that, oh my gosh, this wasn't as scary as I thought it was. I had no idea that I was going to write a book, or that I was going to become an entrepreneur, or that I was going to invest in becoming a certified yoga teacher, any of those things. Those would have been really, really frightening. And there were periods of time where they were, because it was that fear of the unknown. So if it's unknown, make it known. And it's just, you know, it takes time, though. And this is where you're allowed to explore relationships and new connections and really learn about what interests you. There are a lot of people who don't have a clue about what they're even interested in because they've been bumping around so long.
Right. And I think I'm talking with a lot of people lately who have been looking for work for a very long time. And sometimes that just bumping around for so long, sometimes that every time you take an action you feel as if you're prevented, that can really stop your forward motion.
Yeah, it sure can. And, you know, that's where tenacity comes in, and that's where looking at things from a different angle comes in. That's where allowing yourself to make a choice that might not be the preferred choice, but could be a bridge to the preferred choice.
Mm.
We have to be highly creative right now. And, you know, that in itself allows us to have some doors open that generally wouldn't, just because we have this linear idea in mind.
It seems to me, too, that, and this ties in with 9/11, that was a day when we kind of realized collectively that the way we thought things were maybe isn't how it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And in the times that we're living in right now, so much of what we had come to think, this is how it goes, you get your job, you stay in your job for 20 years, right? You things the way we thought it was, that's not doing it anymore.
No, it's not.
This is the new normal, for whatever, for lack of a better term.
Right, right.
And living in the new normal requires a different skill set. Do you feel that way?
It absolutely does. Everything's changed. Everything's been turned upside down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the information that we learned from our parents, or that we you know, when we were growing up, or is so completely different than that of which we're teaching our own children.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it isn't this idea of, if we're talking about jobs or careers or whatever, air quotes, job security, you know, is a laugh.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but this is no longer the way, and I'm sure there are a lot of companies that, you know, I'm not like down on the man. You know, but my point being, it's a completely different world now when it comes to that kind of stuff. So we have to be more resilient, more creative, able to get to the bottom of what our true strengths are. What are our gifts? What are our talents? And when we know that, then we can have a better idea of how to share that with the world and make a difference through those things that are authentically ours. I listened to my daughter this morning tell me how she was going to be a famous artist, but her job would be farming. So she wants to be an artist and a farmer, and that she would also create some sort of a foundation for animals who were not wanted so that they were cared for. And then she thought that might be a good idea to do that for racehorses, because what happens to them when they no longer run? They need to be cared for. And I'm just listening to her, right? And she's just kind of pulling this all together. And I thought, isn't that awesome? I'm going to remind her of this in 10 years.
Wow. And what a huge, loving, generous heart. You know what I wanted to be when I was about your daughter's age? I wanted to be, this will really show you my age. I wanted to be one of the singers in the DeFranco family. Remember the DeFranco family singers from the 1970s? That's what I wanted to be. I didn't want to help racehorses or save the little bunnies or do great art. I was going to be in the DeFranco family.
That's awesome.
Now, but don't tell anyone. Okay. Don't let anyone know. I'm sure nobody heard. Don't worry. Nobody heard that. It's just between you and me. Now, you've written a great book called Life on Your Terms, and it's been a good resource for me personally. And I know for other people too. Can you say a little bit about the book and how it's changing people's lives? And also, I'd love to hear a little bit about what drove you to put this together. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you very much. Life on Your Terms is an inspirational guidebook for budding entrepreneurs, and then certainly for people who have already taken the leap and reinvented themselves, but also for those folks who are thinking about it and need some additional support through that change. This idea came to mind. I didn't know it was a book when the idea came to mind. I wanted to interview entrepreneurs from all around the world and find out a little bit more about their secrets and how they were living and how they were absolutely moving through life on their own terms, making those choices and doing their thing. And what a cool opportunity to be able to talk to all of these different folks from all corners of the globe and get clear. What if I could talk to them, and if they've figured this out, maybe we could share this with others and help other people do the same thing. So these wonderful people, 41 entrepreneurs, came together and shared time with me, and we were able to distill this into a book and workbooks for people who want to learn from others and who are ready to do the work and start to make that move in the direction of a life on their own terms.
The workbooks are wonderful. Is there, now the book has its own website, right? Do you want to?
It does.
Put that out there?
Oh, sure. It's lifeonyourtermsbook.net, and you'll find information there about the book, workbooks. It's a blog as well. And so it's lifeonyourtermsbook.net.
Yeah, it's great. Great resource. The workbooks have been very helpful. Shan has a way of asking the questions that I read the questions that you ask, and I think, oh, I should have thought of that. I should have asked myself that. But, of course, I didn't. And you have a way of asking what needs to be asked and doing it in a way that leads me right to my deepest place of discovery without any fooling around.
Oh, I'm so good to know. Thank you. Thank you. That's good to know. That's good to know.
Oh, that's true. Now, with just a couple of minutes left, how can we tell when we're living in fear and not in love? And what are some of the fruits of making that shift?
Well, we can tell when we just pay attention to your breath and to how you feel right now. Are you breathing in a shallow way? When have you even paid attention to your breath in the last 10 years? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a matter of you know if you're feeling out of sorts and not yourself, and certainly the people who love you know that. And if you are finding more of your days than not are not enjoyable, that you're just the daily grind, that's just no way to live. You deserve to listen to yourself and to find a way to express yourself and to begin to uncover what it is that really is going to change the way that you look at life. If you do that, you're going to be able to give the most to others, to the people that you love, to the people that you work with, because you do deserve to be nurtured and fulfilled and inspired and self-expressed. So don't be afraid of this. Get clear about it. Allow yourself the time. Give yourself permission to do some self-discovery and find out what it is that really does make you tick, and then you'll be on your way.
Wow. Shan, thank you so much for being here today. How can people find out more about your work and get in touch with you?
I think the best way is to find me at shanvanderleek.com. I'm very easy to find on Twitter, Facebook. I'm all over the place online. But shanvanderleek.com or lifeonyourtermsbook.net would be great. And then I'd just like to leave with this comment, and that it's never too soon nor too late to follow your passion. Just begin it.
Wonderful. Shan Vanderleek, thank you so much for being on the show today. We will be right back after this break, and healer, author, and artist Raven Martirosian will join us to talk about the power of transforming fear to love.